Did get a little bit of feedback from everybody on Monday. I asked what folks want to know about spiritual gifts. And so this is starting to lay some of the groundwork for that. But what I recognize is important is that we at least make sure we start on the same foot. If we can't even define the terms and arrive at consensus about how we get them and what the purpose of them is, it's going to be very difficult for us to really have clarity moving forward about what we mean when we talk about spiritual gifts or how to use them and so on. So wanted to start by very early on just laying out a definition. This is my definition. You can find probably 500 other definitions, but I really think that this catches much of the essential pieces. I would define a spiritual gift this way. It is a special ability that's given by the Holy Spirit intentionally to you for the building up of the body and the expansion of the kingdom. So let me break that apart just very, very briefly. A special ability given by the Holy Spirit. This isn't something that you just stumble upon. This is intentionally handed to you by the grace of God. One of the words for spiritual gifts is charismata, and that the Greek word, the root word of that is charis, which is the same word that means grace in Greek. And so this is a gift of grace. It is out of God's goodness and mercy that he gives you, he equips you with this. So it is a special ability given through the Holy Spirit intentionally to you. It's not accidental, it's not random, and it's not really given to you, which hopefully will become crystal clear as we go through the rest of the message, but it's given to you for the building up of the body and to expand the kingdom of God. Those are the purposes for our spiritual gifts. And so we need to keep that in the background. We need to make sure that we remember that, not just this week, but in the weeks to come. You can write that down, take a picture of it, screenshot it, get a tattoo, whatever you need to do. But remember that this is kind of the foundation of what we mean by spiritual gifts. Now, I want to tell you about a holiday that is coming up for people from Ohio. It is the NFL draft. That comes up in just 8 days. And for people from Cleveland, that's like Easter. I mean, that is our holiday of hope. We arrange our schedules. We watch it. We have parties to watch the draft. Yes, we're nerds, but it's like the day that kind of launches us into a couple months of hope. And then, of course, the season starts and our hope quickly turns to despair as Browns fans. But this is important because I want to kind of make a metaphor throughout today that explains kind of how the spiritual gifts work and are assigned. And it relates to this idea of the draft. The way the draft works is each team has what you would call a general manager, and you don't have to know about sports to know this. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. The role of the general manager is to identify the necessary pieces that the team needs to be successful or to be competitive or to not embarrass the state of Ohio. And the way they do that is they spend millions of dollars, they scout millions of hours of individuals in college and around the country to see who the really gifted, talented people are who meet the needs that they have for their team, what makes them better. And so what you see is that some people, some teams are really, really good at this. The 49ers have kind of nailed this. Their GM, John Lynch, and their coach kind of team up and they have a good sense of this. And then, of course, there are other teams that don't do this with nearly the level of proficiency that others do. And so sadly, I am a fan of the second team. But here's what happens. Every year, the Browns fire somebody because they're not able to appropriately identify who has the passion, who has the abilities, who fits the needs, who has the skill set to make the team better. And it makes me think, wouldn't it be awesome if there was like, if you could be the general manager of a team and you just had these like magic pills that you could just pass out, right? And some of these pills might make you faster. One pill, you know, the yellow one might make you stronger and the red one's faster and the speckly one makes you smarter or gives you a better throwing arm or more agility or whatever. But you could then, essentially, you could just hand these pills to your players and they would be specially equipped to fit the needs of the team, to edify and encourage the team in accomplishing the mission. If we want to make the analogy for us, that's of building up the body and encouraging the growth of the kingdom. So this is what happens with us with spiritual gifts, right? The Trinity kind of gets together. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And on draft day, right, the day they call your name to play for Team Jesus, they give you some pill. They give you some supernatural abilities to accomplish the things that they need to accomplish. They make you bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, more athletic, a better leader, tougher, whatever. But they give you the gift that you need. So they kind of specially craft the team. It's kind of like making a person in a lab that can accomplish the task. And this is what happens with us in relation to the spiritual gifts. God gives us these supernatural abilities to accomplish the things that he would have for us. It's not so that we can go off on our own and, you know, be some sort of individual Olympic champion sprinter, right? It's not like we're going to just get the speed pill so we can be the fastest man alive, or so we can get the strength pill so that we can be the strongest man alive. It's none of that. The purpose of this is to build people, to build a team. The general managers identify the weaknesses in their team and they try to respond by addressing that. And the Holy Spirit looks at the kingdom, Global Church, Manteca Church, Northgate, and says, we have some gaps, we have some weaknesses, we need to address that. And then he puts in us these spiritual gifts that allow us to respond on behalf of him to both, again, build the kingdom and to glorify Jesus. So as recipients of the spiritual gifts, we also aren't supposed to just take the red speed pill and run off and do our own thing. Our responsibility, our obligation is to team Jesus so that team Jesus can be stronger and healthier and more alive and more impassioned and encouraged in the mission, which is to tell every human being the good news of the cross. Now, Paul talks about this. If you've been in the church for any period of time, you've seen this, but Paul talks about this and he compares the body of Christ and the spiritual gifts, right? He says that God gets to choose who gets what gifts. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, we read this. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. God chooses which gifts we get. Everybody gets something, right? But not all of us get speed. You don't need everybody to be huge. You don't see a whole lot of wide receivers that are 350 pounds because it's just not helpful. Not everybody gets to be built like a tree and not everybody gets to be fast. But what happens is that God chooses and he allocates those skills. He passes out the kidneys. I'm sorry, passes out the pills. A few verses later, he says, indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And so we see that Paul kind of rebukes people that are hands for wanting to be feet, or eyes who want to be noses, right? Like, be content with the thing that God gives you, he says. And again, to continue this metaphor, it's like we don't need all the offensive linemen to be quarterbacks. Because if you have a whole team of quarterbacks, your team stinks. Now, there are some roles that are really prestigious, right? Like the quarterback is a really fun role. Everybody wants to be a quarterback. The offensive lineman, not really that prestigious, but it's built around protecting these other positions, right? And when you look at the body, you see the same thing, right? Sometimes, like my wife has haunting blue eyes, and you look at them and it kind of sends chills down at least my spine. It's really exciting, and we talk about eyes all the time. We talk about people's mouths and their eloquence, and we talk about their face. Nobody's ever like, man, you see the kidneys on her? Like that we don't celebrate those things, but they're just as important, right? Some roles are prestigious and honorable, and others are built to protect those. If one part hurts, Paul says in the next verses, so if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If the 49ers would have won the Super Bowl last year, the offensive linemen would have gotten a trophy too, even though nobody knows any of their names. Right? The responsibility of the kidney is to make pee, right? Like, nobody's going to choose to make pee. They don't do it for themselves. They don't do it because it's cool. They wouldn't choose it, but it helps to keep alive and keep safe and keep healthy all of the other parts of the body. In the same way, the Holy Spirit builds his body, the body of Christ, by having these supernaturally resourced positions or parts. And he does that both to glorify God, make Jesus famous, and so that we can love and preserve and encourage the body along the way. Right? The body of Christ, all the people who are doing the Lord's ministry, folks, sometimes it's tiring. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes there's temptations to divide. Sometimes there's just anxiety. And the role of the rest of the body is to act as an encouragement, is to act as a booster shot, to pump us full of life, whether you're an eye or a kidney. Now, what stinks is this. There are times, what I would say is tragic is this. There are times when we're drafted to Team Jesus and he gives us a gift, right? He gives us the toughness pill or the leadership pill, but we don't want to take that one, right? We have our own ideas of what it is we should be, right? I want to be a quarterback. I want to be an eye. And so we reject the gift because, and there's a lot of reasons, right? I'll give you a few that I can think of. One, maybe it's because we wanted the pill to make us fast, or we wanted to be strong. And we got agility or toughness. Maybe it's because we don't want, or we don't think that the pill that we get matters, right? We forget that this is about other people, not about us. We forget that this is about the kingdom of God, not about us or our own glory. Maybe we didn't know that we got a pill, right? Like, maybe it was just in our welcome bag and we didn't see it, and so we didn't take it, right? Some new believers, this is the case for you, right? Like, you didn't know that you had these spiritual gifts just sitting, waiting to be exercised and to be put into play for the glory of God and the edification of the body. And sometimes I think we're afraid of the responsibility, right? Like, it eliminates excuses. If we are enabled and empowered by the living God, the Spirit that raised Christ, then we can't just not do things. We can't just lazily walk through life because we've not only a responsibility, but now we recognize that we have been empowered to do it. For whatever reason it is that we don't live out these gifts, we find that there are lots of places in the church where there are roles that are just not being satisfied, that aren't being filled, right? This isn't just at Northgate. Don't hear me as this is not an elaborate way to drum up more volunteer hours. This is a way to say, hey, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to hold us accountable. I have a responsibility to use my gifts to build the body, to encourage others, to lead, and so on. But what happens is if no one's filling that role, right? If nobody's playing the role of water boy, then nobody's, to keep the analogy going, nobody's making pee, and everybody else gets sick. The eye gets sick, the nose gets sick. Kidneys are important, not glamorous. Livers are important, not glamorous. Some of us are called to be livers, some of us are called to be kidneys. So here is kind of the dirty little truth, is that if you're on Team Jesus, you need to hear this and you need to believe it. You have gotten at least one pill, right? That God has handed you at least one thing. Check the bag that he welcomed you into the family with. But there's a pill in there that wasn't randomly or just by chance assigned to you. But no, God, by his design, put the blue or the yellow or the red or the green pill in your hand so that you can supernaturally make other people stronger, so that you can be supernaturally wise or strategic or encouraging or merciful or generous or hospitable, because that is the thing that Team Jesus needs. The Holy Spirit sees the gaps and he addresses it. The GM sees where we're weak and tries to make us strong. Now, I recently started watching Smallville. I know that's like a super old show, and I'm probably going to get laughed at, but it's fun. I'm a season in. And in this show, Superman is like learning that he has these new gifts, right? But they always surprise him. Like when he finds out he has X-ray vision, he doesn't know how to use it at first. And when he finds out he has heat ray vision, he catches the school on fire. Like he's trying to figure out how to use these things. And so here's what I want us to make sure that we recognize, that it is not the case that just because you have a spiritual gift that you're going to be great at it. You got to practice it, right? You have to practice using it. You have to explore it. You have to flex those muscles. And so for some of you, you don't know what they are yet. And that's fine. Come back Friday, because we're going to start talking about that, because it's kind of a critical piece, right? You got to know what your gifts are. What color pill did God give you? Was it one for prophecy or tongues or teaching or wisdom? If you don't know, it's hard to practice. But even once you know, we have to explore and practice. We have to understand that we aren't going to be great at it day one. But good Lord, let us not squander the gift that he's given us, right? Like, when that happens, that hurts both us, and as Paul says, when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And so, folks, this is why this is such an important series, especially coming out of the book of Acts. We got to know what it is that God is calling us into and how he's equipping us to do those things. So again, if you don't know what your things are, what your spiritual gifts are, that's what we're here for. Like, I mean, no joke, not even being like corny or cliche, that is literally why I'm here, is to call out the gifts in other folks, to try to build you up in those, to try to give you hope and faith in the things that God has chosen to trust you with. And so with that, we, as always, have a couple questions that we would love for you to be processing with some other folks in your life. And in the interim, be prayerfully asking the Lord to unveil, even now, what it is he needs from you and how he has built you to accomplish the task that he has set before you. Hope you'll join us Friday that's the thing that we're going to be talking about, is the role of the body in identifying our gifts. So I hope you'll join us on Friday. Be blessed, friends.